It is going to be a super packed day. Super full. So I don't want to spend too much time in the tease other than to tell you there's signs of life. I vacillate between America cannot be saved completely because of the separate countries it's surrounded by. It's surrounded by separate hostile countries. Washington State is a separate country. Not the people there, but the regime is hostile to the actual United States.
Live and local on AM 770 KTTH. Your independent conservative host, Todd Herman, welcomes you to the Todd Herman Show.
There are Americans who are willing to threaten folks, who are risking their lives every day to keep our children safe, who are risking their lives every day to make sure that this republic remains a republic. And we have to respond to this crisis in kind. We have to respond to these folks, not by saying that they're just simply marginal voices, but to respond to them as the threats that they represent to our democracy.
That's Eddie Glaude Jr. He's talking about parents who go to school board meetings. Today is, in fact, the day the Lord has made. These are the times to which God has decided we shall live, and children are a gift from God that we are called to steward and to guide. Not the government schools, not the government schools that are completely taken over. If you live in one of the separate countries, please, if you've never, this is one of the things I hope you guys remember me saying. I really do hope that you remember we talked about this. Your kids are not safe mentally in these schools. In Washington State, that separate country, they're not safe physically. Well, California as well, Oregon as well. I know the West Coast better than the rest of the country, and they are legitimately unsafe there, and I mean it. So that's an MSNBC guy, Eddie Glaude Jr., talking again about this. Now it's school boards who risk their lives. People who run school boards are now risking their lives to keep kids safe, but are they? Is that actually what's going on? The patient zero for the destruction of government schools is the separate country of Seattle. It has been purposeful and powerful.
We are compelled to bring knowledge to young people. Can you imagine a school district who still believes the world is flat? And there are thousands of them, by the way, people.
Definitely some complaints on whether or not we would have to ask permission from parents to teach. It doesn't seem like it makes a lot of sense.
No, please, sir. We're dancers in a competition, and we just found out that we made it to the finals.
If you call the cops, we won't be able to go.
Hey, I'm a dancer, too.
Some folks are deeply, deeply offended by this in our schools, and I respect that tremendously.
It's true. We're dancers. Look.
This story that continues to gain new detail out of Ashburn, Virginia, is exactly what we said would happen when we started talking about this issue, when we were the only show that talked about transgender ideology and the lie that people are born in the wrong body, and confronted the shiny-shoed Republicans in Washington State who simply all they had to do, there were three of them, all they had to do is say to the so-called Human Rights Commission, no, we're not going to let you create a regulatory diktat where naked men can walk into the YWCA in Pierce County, which is where this started. Naked men can walk in, stand next to a 13-year-old girl and soap themselves and rub themselves. We're not going to let that happen. But they didn't do that. And part of it was they were paid off. That there's a friend of mine who knows the establishment very well. He said that they referred to people who would pay them off as the gay TM, like an ATM. Just easy. Just take a little money and then just say it's about a place for people to pee. A young man who is fond of calling himself gender fluid, meaning one day he's a boy, one day he's a girl, is accused now of two rapes of kids in a school, girls in a school, and in this case, in a bathroom, where he got to go in because on Tuesdays or whatever, he's a girl. And this madness, this breaking of brains, has spread throughout the country. It's spread throughout the globe. And this is a purposeful top-down, bottom-up push. We talked about this yesterday. Same actors, different stage. Big pharma, sexual left, Democrats. The World Health Organization pushes this myth that people are born in the wrong bodies. It's the same top-down, bottom-up that's pushing the vaccine diktats. And it's firing day Monday in Washington State. There's hundreds of people being fired today in Florida, not because of Ron DeSantis, but because of the people who run Joe Biden. Same actors, different stage. A father was arrested at a school board meeting because the boy who raped his daughter was charged with forcible sodomy, a count of anal sodomy, a count of forcible fellatio in relation to the incident. And this dad found himself upset. Scott Smith was peeved that this was done to his girl. And everybody who's not hypnotized by magic words saw this coming. But the trans activist said, oh, no, real trans people would never do that. Well, there's no such thing as a real trans person. There are people who are confused about their gender. The word trans means literally nothing. It's a gibberish phrase made up by people who are installing gibberish in people's minds. It doesn't mean people don't feel that way. It doesn't mean it's our right to be cruel to folks who feel that way. Just the opposite. We need to be kind. We always do. But this is not a top story. Now, Brett Kavanaugh being in a rape train, that was a top story. And it led the news for weeks at a time. Brett Kavanaugh's rape train. And that wasn't true. This is true. And this is about the best that we get.
This has been a crazy 3 months, but basically my daughter was sexually assaulted at the end of school in May of last year. And, you know, I went to the school board meeting, you know, to see what was going on because I had seen all this crazy stuff on TV. And I went to see what was going on. This sexual predator was being held on in-house arrest with an ankle monitor and would not return to school until these court sessions were done. That if I wanted justice for my daughter, that I needed to keep my mouth quiet and not speak out, because in order to get justice for my daughter, which is the most important thing to me, of course, was to not come out and let justice prevail. That's really scary.
That was Fox News. That's the only place, really, that's paying attention to this story and this program. As you make choices about media, please remember the people who talked about the things that are not to be discussed. Please, as you make choices about media, remember the people who are willing to step outside out of bounds. And as you make choices about media, honor those choices. There is, on this radio station, Jason Rantz steps outside of the Seattle rules. You're not to go criticize the drug camps, and I call them sex trafficking camps because there's a 2,000% increase in sex trafficking in this state. Remember that. And CNN, they ripped Governor Abbott because Governor Abbott doesn't let businesses do vaccine diktats to force people to get shot up with this useless mRNA injection, this harmful injection, harmful for far too many people, deadly for far too many people. And it is doing, and I mean it very literally, nothing for society, nothing. It's not limiting the spread at all. It cannot. And people who early on read the paperwork from these vaccine pimping companies knew it wouldn't because they said it wouldn't. So Ryan Abbott's accused of limiting business freedom by not letting them require people to get injected with something in order to have a job to pursue life, liberty, and happiness. However, they are ignoring Gavin Newsom forcing businesses to pretend that boys are girls and girls are boys.
Developing overnight, Texas Governor Greg Abbott, who likes to brag about Texas being a pro-business state, he signed an executive order severely limiting the freedom of businesses to make their own choices. Abbott banned any entity, including private businesses, from enforcing vaccine requirements on workers.
But he's playing a really dangerous game. Kids are going to become sick and die because of this, and now he's extending it to private business owners.
So that's a lie. Kids are at less risk from the COVID flu than they are, depending on age, of dying by being bitten by a dog. And no, kids aren't going to die of this because their parents could still get them injected with the mRNA. You'd be insane to get a child injected with the mRNA. You'd be flat insane because the risks are far greater from the injections than the COVID, far greater. But you could still do it. But businesses in California are not allowed to have boys and girls sections anymore because Gavin Newsom is useful to the left. All this began in the schools. It can end in the schools. There's signs of life. A great listener of mine has made the decision to run for what? Alex was speaking to me in my ear just then. I was building up to a great tease. That's okay. That's okay. That's okay. Are you talking on the air? People just think I'm a crazy person talking to myself.
No, sorry. I didn't want you to say the wrong name.
All right. I'm not going to say the wrong name. This is Alex's last week, by the way. No? One more. Two more weeks. All right. Thank God. Thank God. All right. I feel better. Oh, we'll talk about that later, Alex and I. If we want to stop the bleeding in the country of America that's still left and try to rescue the separate countries like Washington State, the government hostile to the United States, it requires that we get into the schools. And that's going on. A great listener of mine I met in person has made the decision to run for school board. Jeannie McDua joins us on the Todd Herman Show. Jeannie, what an incredible thing to know you through social media all these years, and here you are running for school board, and welcome to the show.
Well, thanks for having me.
Are you nervous?
Yes.
This is just us talking. We got to talk in Spokane. So
right.
It's just us talking. Tell people where you're running for school board and why.
In Everett, Washington. And I jumped into the race because I am tired of hearing about the critical race theory that our students are subjected to. And I was really concerned about the sex ed bill and the curriculum that our students are also being subjected to.
Yeah, it's the sex ed bill. People who still persist in wanting to believe there's no curricula tied to that have eyes completely glued shut. Let's start, first of all, with critical race theory. Why does that bother you so much, Jeannie?
I don't think it's right for students to be trained to look at themselves and at others and categorize them into oppressed or oppressor. It's depressing. It's fatalistic. There's no hope in it. And it causes people to hate themselves and others.
Well, that's well said. And now, is that your white privilege speaking?
I'm actually a mixed race. I am half Filipino. I was born in the Philippines. I'm an immigrant and a naturalized citizen.
So I'm checking your privilege just for the Seattle liberals. Just, oh, wait, you better check your privilege. I am. I didn't want to bring up your race. Everything is race these days. And the response from the left is always, well, it's white privilege. What about sex ed? What bothers you about that? Not that it shouldn't, but what is it that most bothers you about this curricula that they're shoving into Everett schools all around the separate country of Washington?
I've seen portions of the curricula that are being put into the schools, and the images themselves are pornographic. Students are taught to question their gender identity. So I don't think that is something that is the role of public education. That should be something that is done in families and not at the schools.
There is a book that makes its rounds around this form of so-called education, and it's indoctrination. And that word now means nothing because we say it all the time. So let me tell you what the goal is that I think. And Jeannie, you tell me if I'm wrong. I think the goal of the party is to have our kids be angry little sex bots.
Yes.
Right? This book is called It's Perfectly Normal, has a chapter where a young man thinks he's a girl, And so he experiments with some different sex acts. One is he orally services another boy, but he doesn't find that very satisfactory. So then he moves beyond orally servicing this other boy, and he lays down on the bed, and the boy gets on top of him in the missionary position, and I'll just let your imagination run wild. I've been graphic enough. That satisfies him. So then at that point he figures out he's a girl, and this is the thing that's being handed out in these classrooms. So what's been the response that you're running? You're very openly against these things. I imagine that the tolerance is overwhelming when people find out that you're against these things in polite circles. They probably just embrace you as a different thinker.
I have been fortunate in that I haven't had, I feel like I've been running kind of under the radar. So I don't know.
Well, not anymore.
Not anymore. Now I'm on the radio. So
not anymore.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. I did have, I had a joint interview with my opponent for the Everett Herald, and my opponent supports the sex ed curricula that are going to be in the Everett schools starting this year. I have seen that book that you're talking about, and it's very appealing to children the way it's illustrated. And so it feels like something that's normal, as you know, which is the goal of the book called It's Perfectly Normal. And I just don't feel that these images should be normalized. My opponent says that kids have access to pornographic images on the internet and they find their way to it themselves, which is very true, but we shouldn't be normalizing these things in public education, having conversations about sexual pleasure with teachers who are essentially strangers, and that shouldn't be going on between adults and our children. We need to protect our children from that.
Right. And this show, it helped inspire the activism we see with parents at school boards. And courtesy of Rush Limbaugh, God bless him and rest him, we got to speak to a nationwide audience, and I shared this battle plan. Get into the schools, read the curricula into the record of these school board meetings, including this pornography, this filth. Read it into the record and make them turn your microphone off and say, there's kids here. You can't read this. I would say this, Jeannie McDougal is with us. She's running for school board in Everett, Washington. And you can hear that she is the sane candidate, because anyone who is behind and pushing this sex ed stuff, they're too illiterate, functionally, mentally illiterate to be on the school board, or are too craven for power. I want parents, when this garbage is introduced in the classroom and their kids come home and tell them about it, I want parents to call the cops. Because guess what? Adults sharing sexual images with children is still against the revised codes of Washington's criminal code. Would you back something like that as a school board? Would you back seeing teachers and administrators arrested for having this stuff handed out to kids?
Yes.
That's the succinct answer.
They have no business telling our children how to masturbate, or that it's okay, or, you know, if you touch yourselves, it feels good. They have no business doing that with our children.
Well, and it goes beyond that. I mean, this is the thing that as bad as that is, when I've used words in the show I won't use today to describe some of the sex acts, I had to look them up. And it was so embarrassing. You know, Maya Espinosa, who in a sane world would have been the secretary, or the would have run education in the country, or in the state of Washington. She would have replaced this rake doll character. We were going through the curriculum together, doing a Facebook Live, and I came across a word I didn't understand. And I had to think about it. Then both Maya and I went, oh, no, that's what? So that goes into, even in high school, they teach kids about sexual blood play. That's exactly what it sounds like. Having sex with blood, right? Because that's perfectly normal as well. So, Jeannie, how do people get in touch with your campaign to make sure that you're on the school board, not someone who wants to see kids made into angry little sex bots?
Well, thank you. It's my website, vote for Jeannie, J-E-A-N-N-I-E, McDua, M-A-G-D-U-A.com.
So I know Alex is going to take that, and he's going to put that into the text line. right? And you're going to make sure that people have that throughout the program or remind people. It's 800-465-8770. Just text Todd there to 800-465-8770. Well, I appreciate you running, and this is why I see signs of life. Again, it's so funny to know someone through social media, have met you in Spokane, and here you are now running for school board in Everett. And I think God is thanking you for taking care of our kids. I am, and just go with God's good grace, Jeannie, and good luck with the race.
Well, thank you very much for having me on the show.
Of course. Absolute pleasure. Todd Herman's show will continue. Thanks for listening to the Todd Herman Show. Let me offer up a couple comparisons here as we enter into, it's going to be a COVID. It's tempting again to say, oh, you're going to talk COVID. Sure. And yet it's not COVID. It's not. It's the COVID is the symptom. The disease is tyranny. The players are the same players in these different stages. Let me tie this together. So Andy McCabe, who committed perjury, which used to mean that you had your life ruined, your career destroyed forever. I mean, that is if you are, you know, General Flynn or George Papadopoulos or who were put in perjury traps. Andy McCabe, because of the people who run Biden, is getting his payoff. The liar who perpetrated the second greatest hoax in the history of my lifetime, which was the Russia hoax that news entities around the country have refused to apologize for parroting. He's going to get his pension restored. They're going to pay off his lawyers with your money. He's going to get his cufflinks or whatever they get for retiring from the FBI. Meanwhile, people are being fired for not getting shot up with an injection that is impotent in every way, shape, matter, idea, faction, or form, impotent to stop this virus. And is, in fact, in my judgment, very clearly making it worse, inventing the variants. Just a point of comparison, right? Another point of comparison. The same media, Mockingbird media members, who ran with Brett Kavanaugh is a serial rapist, and he was involved in a rape train, you know, man after man after man after man after man raping this woman, though there was no evidence that she ever met Brett Kavanaugh. No one backed her story up, not a person. Her social media was erased prior to her offering what is clearly, in my judgment, perjury in front of the House representatives. Her speaking history as a professor was erased. So they ran with that. He's a rapist. Kavanaugh. In the Virginia school system, a young man who has decided he's gender fluid gets to rape apparently two girls. When the father is told, hey, if you want this kid to go to jail, you're going to shut your hole, your speaking hole, about him being gender fluid. You're not going to say anything because the precious must be upheld. And the sexual left and this top down, bottom up, pharma driven, the ruining of kids' lives, of kids' psyches, that's the precious. So the dad is charged with a crime. And I'll make this super clear. And I think a lot of my audience will relate to this. If, God forbid, my child was raped in that way or in any way, and the so-called authorities said, hey, if you want justice, you're going to shut up. Well, A, I wouldn't shut up. And if they're going to refuse justice, Then that starts to border on, I'll do it on my own. Right? Obviously, if I came in and, God forbid, witnessed that happening, I would kill the person without a second thought. I'd have to think long and hard about doing that in afterwards. But other people wouldn't. Another case in point. as we get into now the COVID segment, another comparison.
Leading up to the $1 million lottery drawing to entice more people to get the COVID shot.
The winning begin. The first drawings in the state's vaccine lottery actually happened today.
So we are answering your vaccine lottery question.
So Andy McCabe is getting his pension. Andy McCabe. I have a friend of mine who is a law enforcement officer, and so is his wife. And his wife is about to have stolen from her a $700,000 pension because she will not take the injection. She works from home. She doesn't have contact with anybody. She has a religious and a medical objection to this. She's going to be fired, and they will steal her pension. Because the precious, right? The precious pharmaceutical companies need to be, they need what they've purchased from politicians. And you'll notice the uselessness, utter uselessness, complete uselessness of the Republican Party on this front. Utterly empty. This continues to resonate around the country. Joe Rogan pointing out that CNN purposely, viciously lied about ivermectin. I'll get to that in a second. When people say things, and I heard this yesterday, well, ivermectin's a parasite drug. It can't help with the virus. Does anyone not understand how unbelievably intellectually lazy and dishonest that is? Aspirin's a pain drug. It can't possibly help thin the blood. Nitroglycerin is an explosive. It can't possibly be used as heart medicine. The fact is, there are 29 studies that show it works. There's India that rid itself of the COVID because they made ivermectin available. I've been saying 5 months. I went and reread the paper. It's 5 weeks. Oh, the drugs can only do one thing. Ivermectin works against COVID because it's anti-inflammatory, because it stalls and interrupts viral replication the same way it stalls and interrupts parasitic replications. Oh, it's a parasite drug. It can't possibly help. This should be the end of CNN and Sanjay Gupta. In a world that cared about honesty in news, in a media structure, every journalist in the country. Well, let me say it this way. Here's how to know if you're a journalist. If you're demanding that CNN apologize, retract, and never again speak.
Horse dewormer's not a flattering thing. I get
it's
that.
It's a lie. It's a lie on a news network. It's a lie that's a willing... That's a lie that they're conscious of. This is not a mistake.
Yeah.
They're unfavorably framing it as veterinary medicine.
Well, the FDA put this thing out. You saw that. Did you see that thing that the FDA put out?
What did the FDA put out?
It was a tweet, and it was snarky. I admit it. They said, you are not a horse, you are not a cow, stop taking this stuff, or something like that.
Why would you say that when you're talking about a drug that's been given out to billions and billions of people, a drug that was responsible for one of the inventors of it making the
Nobel Prize.
The Nobel Prize in 2015.
15, yeah.
Yeah, no, a drug that has been shown to stop viral replication in vitro. You know that, right? Why would they lie and say that's horse dewormer? I can afford people medicine, mother. This is ridiculous. It's just a lie.
I don't think anyone is thick.
But don't you think that a lie like that is dangerous on a news network when you know that they know they're lying? You know that they know that I took medicine. Like, here it is. This is ivermectin.
You got
this
it with
it right
you.
Here. Somebody gave it to me.
All right, hang on. The thing is, we're like going so fast. Like, I feel like I'm missing.
Do you think
that's
a problem that your news network lies?
Well, I don't.
Dude,
what did they say?
They lied and said I was taking horse dewormer. First of all, it was prescribed to me by a doctor.
Yeah.
Along
they
with
shouldn't have said
a
it was
bunch
horse.
Of if, other if medications.
If you got a human pill, because there were people that were taking it, the veterinary medication, you're not, obviously. You got it from a doctor, so that it shouldn't be called that. Ivermectin can be a very effective medication for parasitic disease. And as you say, it's probably, you know, I think, what, 250 million people have taken it around the world?
More,
I get that.
Way more.
So
and let's just stop there. Here's how to know if you're a journalist. You demand CNN retract the lie and apologize to Joe Rogan and apologize for getting people killed by helping to suppress early treatment. If you don't do those things, I have news for you. You are not a journalist. I don't know what you are. You could be a coward. You could be an apparatchik. But you're not a journalist, period. You don't get to pretend to be one. David Horowitz has been tracking, and he has paved a path for himself in this at The Blaze. And it's a really good path. He just tweeted this morning. Ivermectin is placed right under remdesivir on the NIH National Institute of Health treatment list, and they even dose ivermectin for COVID. This just shows before the coordinated attack, it was a totally greenlit use for COVID. This is the same National Institute of Health that pretends now that we don't have immune systems, along with the World Health Organization. This is the same National Institute of Health that doesn't give a flat anything that Lupron, which is designed to kill your prostate gland, if God forbid you have prostate cancer, to give you time so that you don't die from the cancer in your prostate. Lupron, they give to 11-year-olds or 6-7-year-olds to stop puberty. That's off-label. That's never reported by the mockingbirds because they're not allowed. In my experience, they're not allowed to talk about kids getting chemically mutilated. When I say not allowed, I mean not allowed. I know of two instances where TV stations in Seattle, reporters were told, no, we're not going to touch that. And if that's the case and you obey, you're not a journalist. Thanks for listening to the Todd Herman Show. And yeah, I did announce earlier and a little early ahead of this that producer Alex has a great, fantastic career opportunity. And we'll talk about it next week, but it is serving Alex's great love of Jesus and of building the kingdom. And he and his wife are going to be moving. I'm not going to say where, but I just want everybody to understand something, that getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning to put together a show like this, it's hard work. And as I imagine doing it on my own, right? If I was a lone actor doing like a podcast or something, I'm thinking, wow, that would be really hard to put together all that stuff and to have it ready to play. And I will miss so very much praying with my business partner every morning. I've never done that before. And for me, it's been incredibly grounding. So as listeners to the program, you know, all things come to an end. Except the kingdom. So I hope that you will, if you're a praying person, I hope that you pray just that God blesses this journey that Alex and his wife are on. And we'll talk. We'll have Alex on the air next week, because right now he's sobbing and crying because I mentioned him on the radio, and it's all very, very messy. We don't want any of that. So, but we'll talk. We'll interact about this next week. Coming up, it's firing week. Monday is firing day. The dictator of Washington State is stealing people's pensions. My suggestion to you, if you work for the state and you get fired for refusing to get shot up with these injections, name your supervisor. Right? And I fancy the phrase needle rape. Name your supervisor and say, I feel I was threatened with needle rape by, name your supervisor, the state of Washington. Don't let them remain faceless behind the bureaucracy. They should be proud of their decision. They should be proud of what they've done to people. Any entity that's doing this should announce it and broadcast it and brag about it. Add it to their logos. You know, add like to every entity that does this should add a needle to their logo. Embrace it. Why hide it? So if you're with the state of Washington, that happens to you, put your supervisor's face on notice. And they could say, yeah, I'm very proud of what I did. Extremely proud. And that stuff will live in history. And 3 to 5 years from now, when we see the long-term effects of putting cytotoxins into people, they can look back and go, yeah, that was one of the proudest days of my life. When I forced people to get injected with this stuff and fired people for not getting injected. Oh, after all, they'll be on the right side of history. So, and by the way, speaking of prayers, I think we should be praying for the people who face that decision, because there's still people who haven't decided what to do. They lie about everything. And this thing with, when I say they, I'm sort of on one about the media today. That's a family thing. We talk about being on one. When someone's in a mood, we say, oh, you're on one. My daughter the other day said something about one of our cats. She said, oh, yeah, the orange cat's on one today. And we used to also say, get your yayas out. Did you ever say that with your kids? When our daughter was jumpy, we'd have a whole way of getting your yayas out. Did you ever do that? Like, do you have these family words or family phrases? Because people, honestly, goodness, people could hear my wife and I talk and they'd have no idea what we're talking about. We can have entire conversations in code. And it's not because we were doing it to hide from our daughters. Just over the years, we've developed this language. I mean, I think I probably on a personal note talked about the string of words that I string together for my wife's nickname, Cold to Google Joubert Z. Cold to Google Joubert Z. And all those are all parts of nicknames. And I won't give my daughter's nicknames because it would embarrass her to, not to death, but she, I mean, it's a longer string than Cold to Google Joubert Z. I'll tell you that. You probably have these phrases in your house as well, so. I'm on one today about the so-called news media. And when I compare actual news to what we so often get in the Mockingbirds, N-O-O-Z-E, it's to the point of screaming with laughter. Ruth Bader Ginsburg talking to Kate Cork. Oh, by the way, did I ever tell you that they tried to hire me to work with Kate Cork? This is a true story. I was in and out of Los Angeles all the time because I worked for Microsoft, and I had started a consulting thing while I was putting together a startup. So I was consulting some of the comedy labels, comedy clubs, and taking them digital, and consulting some of the movie studios with helping them figure digital out. And I got a call from a friend of mine who used to work at CAA saying, hey, this guy wants to talk to you. They've got a secret project. I had to sign an NDA. I went down. I talked to this guy named Michael, and he said, hey, Katie Kirk's going to go digital. She's going to have a whole digital brand. We want you to run it. And I said, I don't think that would work. No. We do think it would work. Well, can you tell Katie that I am a very conservative Republican? Oh, she's not going to care, Todd. That's a myth about Hollywood. How conservative? It wouldn't have worked. In any case, dodged a bullet. So Katie was interviewing Ruth Bader Ginsburg. And Ruth said, I don't like it when people kneel. They shouldn't be kneeling during the national anthem. And so Katie removed it. She edited it. She hid it from people because RGB can't go around saying things that, well, are unwoke. And at least we know that Katie's not a paid actress or something like that. She's not. She just... She just understands very, very well the cost of not being woke. This is one of the child actresses who appeared in a skit with the woman to whom we're to refer to as vice president, who works in an administration that set up fences around the White House as an act of theater, that has the man to whom we're to refer to as president go give events in a fake White House that's a movie stage. This is one of the kids who was in that video with Kamala where she was pretending. There was an acting session. She was pretending to care about space exploration.
These are actors who audition for their spots. Trevor Bernardino is a freshman at York School in Monterey and a space enthusiast. He says he had to send in a monologue of him talking about something he's passionate about and three questions he would ask a world leader. The next step, he had to interview the director of the production.
And then after that, like a week later, my agent called me. He's like, hey, Trevor, what? You booked it.
You booked it. You get to pretend with the so-called vice president. You get to pretend, folks. When it's all theater, we're on our own for reality. Well, that with God Almighty. We'll come back on the Todd Herman Show.